For standing by. Welcome to the conference call of Eternit S.A. to disclose the results of the fourth quarter of 2015. Today with us, we have Mr. Rodrigo Luz, CFO and IRO of Eternit. This conference call is being recorded. All participants will be connected in listen-only mode, and later on, we are going to have a questions and answer session when instructions for you to participate will be given. Should any of you need assistance of an operator during this conference call, please press star zero. This conference call is being simultaneously transmitted through Eternit's IR website, www.eternit.com.br/ri, where the presentation and the press release are available for download. Statements during this conference call about Eternit's business prospects, operational and financial projections and goals are forecasts based on the management's expectation regarding the future of the company. Forward-looking statements are highly dependent on the conditions of the domestic international market and the overall economic performance of our country and the industry, and therefore, they're subject to change. Now, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Rodrigo Luz, CFO and IRO of Eternit. Please, Mr. Luz, you may start.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, rather. I would like to thank you for your participation in our conference call. We are going to report the results of Q4 2015 and for the whole year of 2015. Starting our presentation on slide number three with the highlights of the period. We may say that the year of 2015, in terms of the macroeconomy, was very challenging. Our performance was affected by the economic crisis, unemployment rate, inflation, among other factors, and especially that affected particularly consumer confidence. In Brazil, there was a slowdown and with a reduction of -3.8%, and for the construction, -8.8%. The GDP of the civil construction is one of the main indicators of Brazilian economy. Now, specifically about our industry, according to the Brazilian Construction Materials Industry Association, ABRAMAT. So, in terms of sales for 2015, there was a drop of 12.9% as compared to 2014. This performance, according to ABRAMAT, was a result of the sales in retail market with renovations affected, especially because of the increase in unemployment, the drop in family income and credit restrictions. A second version that contributed to this performance of -12.9% was the market of construction companies that suffered because of the lack of confidence in the economy by families that postponed buying their homes, and also business people that have delayed or postponed construction sales, launches, and other works. In addition to other factors that have affected construction, especially My Home, My Life, with a considerable shrinking because of lack of funds. Eternit has also had a negative performance of -8.2% as a result of the shrinking sales volumes in the three segments that we listed in slide number three, chrysotile mineral, and in manufacturing of finished products, fiber, cement, and concrete tiles. They have been partially set off by price transfers during the year, but this price transfer was smaller than inflation. As a reminder, inflation was greater than two digits, it was more than 10%, and the FX rate that provided a significant contribution to the exports of crystal tile, making that Eternit sales, even though negative, were better than the other segments of the company. The adjusted EBITDA decreased 71% as non-recurring provisions relating to a public lawsuit filed by the Ministry of Labor and Abrea, which also impacted the net income of our period. In addition to the bookings of some lines or items in commercial area that we had in 2015. Now, talking about our operational performance on slide number 5, in terms of chrysotile mineral, we had a retraction of 22.7% in mineral sales, or sales, especially because of the foreign market that shrunk 42%. And basically, this effect arises from the competitiveness of our competitors, especially Russia and Kazakhstan, because of a strong drop in export prices due to the strong valuation of the dollar in those countries. In addition to the reduction of our sales to India, our main customer, because of the increase in competitiveness of the steel, considering the availability of iron ore at low prices. And these are the main drivers that have contributed for the shrinking of sales in the foreign market, and which drove them to this level. The domestic market, on the other hand, has shrunk very much in line with the construction materials industry as a whole, with a reduction of 2.1 in the quarter. When we analyze the year, it fell by 7%, and exports dropped by 20.5% comparing 2015 to 2014, considering the fact that I have mentioned. So the sales volume in 2015 was 246,000 tons as compared to 283.7 in the previous year. On slide 6, sales of fiber cement, in the volume sold in Q4 was 11.2% lower than the same period in the year before. And this reduction is related to the slowdown in the industry of construction materials, also associated to an increase in unemployment rate of families and credit restrictions, in addition to the reduction in the number of home renovations. So during the year, this drove our performance year on year to be 6.7% smaller, reaching the sales volume of 807,000 tons. On slide number 7, you can see sales of concrete tiles. The performance of this industry in Q4 and year-to-date numbers. Sales then showed a reduction of 6.1% and 21.2% respectively. This was driven by the reduction of demand in the industry, lack of confidence or trust by consumers of the segment, and also reduction of the activity of construction companies because of the overall situation of the economy. And then, continuing our presentation, now we are going to talk about economic financial information on slide number 9. Here you can see the consolidated net revenue. In Q4 2015, the net revenue reached 240.8 million, and this was 8.7% below Q4 14. This reduction is directly related to the reduction in sales volumes, which we have just mentioned, especially exports shrinking 17.9% in this period. For the year, revenue was practically stable with a drop of 0.3% as compared to 2014, and this is a result of sales in the foreign market with the amount of 195.1 million, representing a growth of 11.6% as compared to 2014, driven especially by the valuation of the dollar compared to the Brazilian real, and with a valuation of 41.6%. Internal sales had a drop of 21.9% as compared to the same period in 2014. There was a drop of 2.9% in the domestic market. Now, on slide number 10, seeing the breakdown of costs. And I would like to emphasize that Q4 15, and both the quarter and the year, the company operated in line with market demands, responding to the market in our three business lines. The cost structure has remained practically unchanged if we compare it to the previous periods, and it's important to emphasize also that along these periods, Q4 15, as the full year of 2015, we've had a strong pressure of costs because of inflation, in addition to some one-off transfers that were well above inflation because of electric power. Thanks to price transfers in the same levels, even though it was inferior to inflation plus the effect, we were able to keep gross margin at the level of 39%, stable in the comparison between the years of 2015 to 2014. Now, on slide number 11, you can see here the adjusted EBITDA and the EBITDA margin. In Q4 15, the adjusted EBITDA was 15.9 million. A performance that was 71% the performance of Q4 2014. This reduction is directly associated to a reduction of 18% in gross income, which is a result of the slowdown in the industry of construction materials and a drop in crystal tile volumes in a domestic market, as we mentioned shortly ago, and also a non-recurring effect of labor contingencies related to public lawsuits filed by Abrea and by the public prosecutor. And this has contributed to a growth of total operating expenses by 30.7% in the quarter. So the combination of these three factors were the ones accounting for this reduction of 71% in our adjusted EBITDA comparing the two fourth quarters. During the year of 2015, the adjusted EBITDA totaled 159.2 million with a reduction of 11.1 as compared to 2014 as a result of this non-recurring provision, and the effect was partially set off by the reduction in direct operational expenses because of a lower sales volume, smaller provision for profit sharing because there was a smaller profit in the year, and some credits of PIS and COFINS, tax credits. So these effects have partially offset this non-recurring provision, thereby driving the adjusted EBITDA of 2015 to be 11% below 2014. I am going to take the opportunity of this slide, as I mentioned and regarding the public civil lawsuit. And regarding this public civil lawsuit, it's important to emphasize that this lawsuit discusses aspects related to work environment and occupational health of the manufacturing units that were shut down during the 1990s. So this lawsuit won the payment of collective moral damages, individual moral damages, and others. Both lawsuits on March the 1st, 2015, were judged at first level, and they were partially considered with grounds. So it's a probable loss, according to our legal advisors. And for this reason, we had to constitute this non-recurring provision, which affected the company's results in Q4 and in the year of 2015. It's important to emphasize that Eternit will take all due legal measures to appeal in relation to this first court level decision in upper level court. So considering what we have just mentioned about the adjusted EBITDA, in addition to higher financial expenses as a result of debt and FX rates, deferred income tax of our controlled company Tegula due to a partial reversal that we had to do in Q4, the company has had a net loss of 12.3 million as compared to a net income of 23.2 in Q4 14. As a consequence, we had a negative net margin of minus 5. For 2015, the result of the full year was 29.4 million with a net margin of 3% as compared to 85 in the previous year. The next slide, conciliation of adjusted EBITDA and net income. This slide is very interesting because it demonstrates that based on the adjusted EBITDA, the negative and positive effects, we can see them and their contribution or their share in the net performance of the whole period. So considering this conciliation, there was a significant evolution in equity pickup resulting from our 70% share in the area of bathroom fixtures. It contributed negatively with 8.8 million. And now in Q4 15, it's still a negative contribution, but it was 5.6 million. So this is the result of the actions that I mentioned in our previous conference call that were basically the elimination of imported items and the improvement that was progressive in production indicators with consequences in production costs. Another important aspect that I would like to mention on this slide is a result or refers to our net financial income, and the company is no longer exposed to FX risks because due to debt in foreign exchange or in foreign currencies. So in the previous call, I mentioned that we were seeking natural hedge so that we could close the business year naturally protected in our accounts receivable for our exports of chrysotile. So I think that all other items here are self-explanatory, but it's important to demonstrate based on EBITDA the conciliation of net income of the period. On the next slide about debt, we close Q4 15 with a net debt of 144.9 million, equivalent to 0.91 in the adjusted EBITDA of the year. And we are working on this indicator with a normal EBITDA, and this indicator would go up to 1.10. It's important to emphasize in terms of gross debt, both Eternit and its controlled companies debt totaled 167.3 million. And they are recurring. Of export credit notes and receivables. And we want to have working capital for our mining company and funding for the acquisition of machinery and equipment to supply all units of our group. So as I mentioned, during this period, we raised the protection naturally, and you can see that the origin of the debt, 36%, is foreign currency. So 100% of this debt is protected with accounts receivable from exports, thereby eliminating a future FX rate and impact in the company's performance. Now, on next slide, CapEx. In Q4, the amount invested was 9.5 million. 10 million, as you can see here in this presentation, and they were meant basically to the maintenance and updating of the company's manufacturing complex. So in line with the company's strategy of consolidation of investments already made over the past few years, the CapEx of 2015 totaled 38 million, a reduction of 74% as compared to the previous year. And our forecast for 2016 is a CapEx of only maintenance CapEx, amounting to 21 million reals. Now, talking about the capitals market on slide number 17, you can see the company's shareholding structure that remained practically unchanged if we compare to our most recent conference calls. So there was a high concentration of individual shareholders, accounting for 70.6%. And then clubs, funds, and foundations, 19.7%. And foreign investors, 7.9%. The free float is 84.7%, and on the table on the right-hand side, we highlight and list our main shareholders, as well as the members of our board of directors and our audit committee, whose term is in effect until our next shareholders meeting. On slide number 18, we have the remuneration policy. Here we compare net income and distributed earnings, and these earnings are related to dividend and interest on equity capital. So there is a division between these two items, the difference was 70% in 2013. In 2014, the payout went up to 84%. And when we analyzed 2015 as compared to 29 million, the earnings paid amounted 25 million. If we were to consider only this division, the payout of 2015 would be 83%. But the company also paid dividends plus interest on capital as a result from profits from previous business years amounting to 43 million, and the payout then went up to 145%. And then on January 29th, 2016, the board of directors approved our share buyback program for shares in treasury to be held in treasury and subsequently be sold or canceled. And the limit was up to 2 million shares. And these 2 million shares would account 1.3% of the free float. The time is 12 months for the buyback program. So scheduled to close or to end on January 28, 2017. On slide number 21, we are listing the awards of our last quarter, and especially in the commercial area, both for Eternit and Tegula. We had a top of mind award, the award of magazine Epoca Reclame Aqui, the 2015 award, and the other award by PINI and Best Product of the Year. And lastly, you can see our contact names and email addresses. This is the IR team, and we are available to answer any questions you may have. For those who want to ask questions, we are now available to answer any questions you may have. Now we are going to start our Q&A session. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now going to start our questions and answers session. If you want to ask a question, please press star 1. To take your question from the list, please press star 2. We have a question in the webcast by Mr. Alfredo Nunes. What's the outlook for 2016? Is it going to be stable as compared to 2015? Are you going to continue in the track of losses? Alfredo, thank you very much for your participation. Well, making any forecasts in the current economic scenario, which is so unstable, would mean, in terms of the economy and non-economic factors too, it's very difficult for us to make any forecasts. As a policy, or our policy, is not to disclose any guidances. But regardless of the challenges that the economy brings to us, especially in the industry where we operate, we need to use all our competitive advantages, brand strength, the network with more than 15,000 outlets. We need to use this to minimize the effects of the crisis and to operate our manufacturing plants with optimal utilization of capacity. This also regards other segments, and our efforts will be concentrated on reducing cost and operating expenses, optimization of logistics and distribution, and the increase of competitiveness. And these items are necessary for us to be able to tackle or to face the fierce competition that we have in at times of a low utilization of our installed capacity. Our next question comes from Mr. Alfredo Nunes too. The company's debt, which was irrelevant, is still balanced but has been increasing year on year. What can you tell us about the debt in 2016? Will it go up, down, or remain stable? As to the debt, there has been an evolution in recent years, as we talked in the debt slide. But this is related to something that has been approved by the Board of Directors, which is in line with our strategy of having diversified organic growth. So basically, the growth of the debt will support the research and development unit and inputs for construction materials, which is an investment that we have set up in the city of Manaus. So from now on, as I mentioned and very briefly when I talked about this slide, once we implement all our investments, we will work to concentrate our focus to occupy capacity and from now on amortize those investments. So the CapEx forecast that we presented was 21 million. So here you can have an idea that we are not planning to make investments to increase capacity. And what I can say is that the debt arising from capacity increases or new projects, as the one I have just mentioned, it's already done, and we're not forecasting or expecting any major investments in 2016. Excuse me, as a reminder, if you have a question, please press star 1. Thank you. The next question in the webcast comes from Geraldo José Germano, investor. Are you expecting Sul Americana to break even? When? And thank you very much for your participation and for your question, Geraldo. Well, Companhia Sul Americana is a joint venture where Eternit holds an interest of 70% and as it is jointly controlled, we book the results through the method of equity equivalence. It's not proportionally to our in share. As I mentioned, we do not report or disclose guidance or publish, but your question is very interesting. And the EBITDA reconciliation slide, I demonstrated that in Q4 14 to Q4 15, there has been an improvement in our performance of 8.8 to 5.6. So this improvement is related to the aspects I have mentioned in addition to some problems that this unit has overcome along 2015. I mentioned the reduction of imported items of low value added that we used to use to complement our production to meet demand. So this was used until mid-July, August, more or less. And another important bottleneck that we overcome was the completion and with the operation of natural gas to be used in the manufacturing, in the production, in addition to the progressive improvement of manufacturing indicators. So now in 2016, this activity, if we have all market conditions with a more diversified portfolio with the aim of improving the profitability of this business and trying to break even as soon as possible. The next question comes from Mr. Orleans Martins from USPB. What the amount of the lawsuits regarded probable or likely by your legal counsel. Is there any details that you can disclose? And are you at risk of having new lawsuits being filed against Eternit? Thank you for your participation, Mr. Martins. As to the amount that was announced in the media, they are not as high as the amount that the press mentioned. I cannot state or estimate how they came to that number. But as it is a first court decision and a classification of, and a risk classification now is probable according to our legal counsel, we needed to set provisions to meet the accounting policies in effect. However, and even though this decision is not yet final, we are using the strategy of not disclosing the amounts we are provisioning and the items that have been deemed as probable, because this decision can be modified in higher court. For this reason, now we are not disclosing those numbers. Also because we are the only publicly traded company in the industry of construction materials related to fiber cement. For this reason, we are now adopting this strategy. Once again, as a reminder, if you have a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from Thiago Barbosa Costa. Could you comment about this debt of 27.7 million reals of CSC? What are the main causes for this loss? Thiago, thank you for your question and for your participation. The 27.7 in reality are the negative result of the year of 2015. The equivalent to our 70% share there. I have shortly ago mentioned that this site or this undertaking has overcome some bottlenecks. So this negative result is mainly related to exports, and as the FX rate went up sharply in the first half of 2015 until July, August, and then it sort of plateaued. So until then, we are using low value-added products to complement the portfolio and to meet the demands from our customers. So this one's on, was one of the main drivers. The other drivers are directly related to production. There was a site operating at low capacity with low level of production indicators in terms of results. And along the year, especially after they started using the natural gas pipeline, we got some stability, and from then on, there has been a progressive evolution in production indicators. So these are basically the main effects that have contributed to the negative result. Our next question comes from Mr. Saulo Cunha, investor. Are there any new projects to diversify products? or new construction material lines. Paulo, thank you for your participation and for your question. As we are going through quite unstable macroeconomic and economic conditions with lots of uncertainty and pessimism that ends up contaminating the population in general, this ends up reflecting on a smaller demand for construction materials. The construction materials industry and civil construction industry are one of the main drivers of Brazilian economy. So at times like these, it's preferable for us to be more cautious and try to be more efficient in terms of cost and optimization of the use of our production capacity, and especially to consolidate the investments that we have already made in line with diversification of products and all the investments that we have made. So I would like to mention regarding the factors that I have already mentioned, we are going to have new projects for diversification. But right now we need just to consolidate what we have already done. The next question comes from Mr. Leandro Brito from Extreme Networks. As to a possible future ban of chrysotile, do you have anything to say about that? Thank you for your participation and your question. As to this theme, we don't have anything. Nothing new in terms of the lawsuits that are waiting to be tried or judged by the Supreme Court. They are in the same status as they were in previous quarters. No news in this area. Excuse me. As a reminder, if you want to ask a question, please press star 1. Excuse me. If there are no further questions, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Rodrigo Luz for his closing remarks. Well, once again, I would like to thank you for your time in participating to this conference call. Your participation is very important to us. I would like just to emphasize that in this beginning of 2015, there are still some factors that stand out in terms of affecting the industry of construction materials, higher unemployment, income, shrinking family income, and the loss of trust from businessmen. And these first 3 months are months of very high expenses for the families with taxes that they have to pay. And with that regard, the Brazilian Association of Construction Materials believes that only after April or May, it will be possible to see some reaction from the market, provided that the credit measures, such as giving more credit to infrastructure works and also the recovery of My Home, My Life, Phase 3, are implemented. So considering this scenario, Abramat, in spite of all the challenges that we have mentioned, it is projecting a minus 4.5% shrinking for 2015 as compared to 2016 as compared to 2015. So the company believes in the resumption of the growth of the Brazilian economy, especially in the industry where we operate. And depending upon the market conditions and based on the performance that we have mentioned and delivered in previous business years, will work so that we are able to break this trend of growth to have a performance better than our industry as a whole. So once again, I thank you all for your participation and I wish you an excellent afternoon. Thank you very much. Eternit's conference call has now ended. We thank you for your participation and we wish you a good afternoon. Thank you very much.